You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A little bit later this hour, our friends from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, will join us. The free speech rankings are out on colleges in America, and they do that every year, and we'll talk to them about that as more and more college kids, unfortunately today, believe that they should be shutting down protests and shutting down protesters who disagree with them and, of course, are all in favor of censorship. It's just really outrageous. I mentioned this a little earlier, but I don't want to lose sight of this issue in North Carolina and the mayor and why what the mayor did was so disgraceful here in this issue. So, New York Post had a good editorial about this. The Charlotte, North Carolina mayor V. Lyles, who said she was disappointed that the shocking video of the murder of the Ukrainian refugee Irina Zarutska is now public. She actually thanked the media for not sharing the brutal footage. And while she now pretends the blackout was to show respect for the family, her statement 2 weeks back to a local news reporter makes it plain her concern was for the vagrant who was arrested for the deadly stabbing, who's now potentially facing federal death penalty charges in this murder. The mayor wanted the video out of sight, not because she cares for how the family of the victim feels, but because it exposes the corruption and menace that lurks right beneath the surface in our crime-ridden cities. This woman was a Ukrainian refugee who worked in a local pizza parlor. She'd only been seated on the Lynx Blue Line for 4 minutes before the deadly, utterly unprovoked stabbing. The tape, which of course you've seen now, I would imagine, leaves little doubt that deranged ex-convict DeCarlos Brown Jr., the suspect, did it. Lyles lamely claims that the mayor now claims that he appears to have suffered a crisis and blames problems with society's safety nets, as the mayor insists we will never arrest our way out of issues such as homelessness and mental health. New York Post asked the question in their editorial, could we maybe arrest our way out of lunatics killing random victims on public transit? Great question. Sure, get them help after you brought them in. Don't substitute jails and prisons for more compassionate confinement. But don't pretend leaving them running loose makes any sense at all. His long arrest record describes a violent, seriously mentally ill man who posed a clear threat to law-abiding innocent victims. He served 5 years in prison for armed robbery back in 2014. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia and had been repeatedly arrested since then. He was well known to the local social service and community policing authorities. He was detained earlier in 2025 for repeatedly calling 911 from the mental hospital to complain that his brain was controlled by someone else. a magistrate released him to the streets after he made a written promise to appear. Brown's own mother says her son is a danger to the community and should never have been left to roam free. His lawyer made the same plea to the courts last month, but the courts let him go anyway. Mayor Lyles claims she's been thinking hard about what safety really looks like in our city in the wake of Irna's murder. She claims the Charlotte area transit system is by and large a safe transit system, yet it makes no effort to snag fare beaters, as this guy, of course, was. When leftist officials in blue cities talk about real safety and making people feel safe, it's time to triple lock your doors, because what they mean is more social spending, fewer arrests, and less incarceration. The mayor's response to this horrific murder is exactly the sort of feckless musing about safety. The true answer is obvious, but criminals in prison, institutionalize the seriously mentally ill, and fire the judges and elected officials who put the public at risk. No doubt about it. And absolutely heartbreaking what happened in every single way here today. So we played you the press conference earlier in the show. They're now pursuing federal charges against this guy. We'll see if it sticks. I mean, it should stick. The charges should stick. But, you know, when you're dealing with federal charges for something that should be handled on the state level, the problem, of course, being that it may not be because the city and the state are so far gone. It's a shame. North Carolina, too, you think, why is North Carolina a blue state, right? Why? But in other news, Caroline Leavitt was asked about the Epstein situation, and there was a question that was asked today about victims and the Epstein victims, and does the president want to do more to deliver justice for Jeffrey Epstein's victims? This is cut number three from the White House press briefing today. The White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, take a listen.
You addressed the crime of Irina Zarudka, and the president has done a lot to deliver justice for victims of crimes like that horrific stabbing. And the Epstein files are back in the news because a lot of Americans feel that those that Jeffrey Epstein's victims never got justice. Does the president care about these victims? Do you think he can does he want to deliver more justice for them? And is he willing to meet with them?
The president cares about victims of all crimes. And that's why Republicans in the Trump Department of Justice have done more in terms of transparency when it comes to the Epstein case than any prior administration. And why are the Democrats all of a sudden caring about this? It's because they are desperately trying to concoct a hoax to smear the president of the United States. We have seen this time and time again.
Now, she was asked the question, what does the White House mean when the president calls it a hoax? Cut number four.
Thank you. Just I want to follow up on something you said. You said the Epstein documents are a hoax that Democrats are perpetrating against the president. You said he didn't sign that check, that he didn't sign the birthday card that he allegedly signed. So what is the theory, since these documents came from the Epstein estate? Who is, I guess, in your view, faking these documents?
I did not say the documents are a hoax. I said the entire narrative surrounding Jeffrey Epstein right now that is absorbing many of the liberal cable channels on television is a hoax that is being perpetuated by opportunistic Democrats like Ro Khanna and the others whom you saw on that press conference outside of Capitol Hill, who are trying to push this hoax against the president of the United States.
What exactly is the hoax? I'm just trying to understand what's fake. What's fake is not the documents.
The hoax is the Democrats pretending to care about victims of crime when they do not care about victims of crime, when they have done nothing to solve crimes, when they have done nothing to lock up child pedophiles and child rapists across the country, and when they are now using victims as political props to try and, again, smear the president of the United States and drag on this bad story about him. It is a distraction. The Democrats view this story as nothing more than an attempt to distract from the accomplishments and the achievements of this administration. And that is what we mean when we call it a hoax.
Okay, now, the whole issue about this idea of whether or not Donald Trump signed this birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein, okay, because that was the big story that came out today. James Comer, who's the chairman of the Oversight Committee, who is doing the investigation on this, said the following today, quote, "The president says he did not sign it, so I take the president at his word. You asked if I'm going to be trying to figure out whether that, you know, fake or not. Probably not. We're going to be trying to get justice for the victims. 22 years ago, when that was allegedly sent, so I don't think the Oversight Committee is going to invest in looking up something that was 22 years ago. The question of whether or not the president signed this, well, today, a reporter at the White House press briefing asked if the president, White House, would allow an expert to review the signature, the handwriting, to determine if it was, in fact, President Donald Trump. This is Caroline Leavitt's answer to that, cut number five.
About the Epstein case, would the White House support a professional handwriting expert review of the document released yesterday to prove that it's not the president's signature?
Sure, we would support that. And in fact, I have already seen many forensic analysts of signatures coming out. I believe it was the Daily Signal that published a piece with three separate signature analysts who said that this absolutely was not the president's authentic signature. And we have maintained that position all along. The president did not write this letter. He did not sign this letter. And that's why the president's external legal team is aggressively pursuing litigation against the Wall Street Journal, and they will continue to.
All right. So that's the latest on that. In the meantime, James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, is also looking into the Biden auto pen scandal. And he spoke today with Bill Hemmer on Fox News. And this question of whether or not when Joe Biden was president, or at least his mush brain was president, whether or not using the auto pen to issue pardons, executive orders. We had Senator Dave McCormick on today on the show talking about things. One of the biggest things to this day I can't get my mind around is that the Biden administration put in a ban on liquid natural gas exports during a presidential election year when everybody said the must-win state is Pennsylvania. You got to win Pennsylvania, right? We're a natural gas state. Put a ban on liquid natural gas exports. That makes no sense. And something that Joe Biden, back when he had his brain functioning, even though he was always a dummy, was at least politically astute enough to know in a presidential election year when you got to win Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania is a natural gas state, you don't put a ban on the export of liquid natural gas. So I believe that the time that Speaker Mike Johnson confronted Biden about that, and Biden said he didn't know anything about it, maybe he didn't. We all assumed that Biden was just having a Biden day that day, a bad day, but maybe he didn't know anything about it. So you got to wonder whether or not only the auto pen for pardons, but also a lot of these executive actions. The pardon threshold, remember the president, they said this, did not have to review every pardon. There was a criteria, and if it met the criteria, it was sent to the auto pen. Well, I don't think that's good enough. And the question is whether or not that means the president was actually pardoning these people or not, or the staff members were. That's a big difference. Yeah, a president can issue a pardon verbally. A president can issue a pardon by auto pen. A president can issue a pardon by pencil. But the real question is, doesn't the president have to at least know about it? Yeah, I would think the answer is yes. So here's Comer talking about this and what the Oversight Committee is looking into around all this. I think this matters because the auto pen story should not go away. We shouldn't let it go away. Cut 13.
Dash to find groups of people that he could then pardon, and then they largely did not run it by the Department of Justice to vet them, end quote. All right. Where are you now, simply stated, in your inquiry?
Well, we've been bringing in staffers in the Biden administration, key staffers. We started at the bottom. We've been working our way up to the chiefs of staff, trying to determine the process for how President Biden's administration used the auto pen. One thing I can say with confidence right now is that the testimony we've received versus what the Axios story and the other emails that have surfaced in the last 2 weeks have said are completely inconsistent with each other. And I think what's safe to say is, based also on Joe Biden's interview with the New York Times, is he wasn't vetting those. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that Joe Biden wasn't aware of the majority of pardons that were being signed with the auto pen. I don't think Joe Biden was aware of what was going on with many of the executive orders. So what we have here now with the evidence that's emerged, in addition to our transcribed interviews and depositions, is the fact that even Biden's own administration said, wait a minute, you can't do all these legal documents with an auto pen.
Hang on one second. Who said that?
The Merrick Garland, a high-ranking official in the Garland Department of Justice, was concerned about the excessive use of the auto pen on legal documents.
So you're saying today, for the purposes of this interview now, mm-hmm. that there were people within the Biden administration, the Biden White House, or was it the Justice Department who disagreed with the auto pen and the pardons that were coming down? What have you learned about that?
It was the Justice Department that disagreed with the excessive use of the auto pen on legal documents. It was the Justice Department that emailed the White House asking, did the president even know who was pardoned using the auto pen? So you take that, Bill, and you go with President Biden's one interview he's given post-presidency with the New York Times, and they asked him about the pardon process, and he said he delegated that out. Well, that's not how the pardon process works.
All right. The big question you're wondering, though, of course, is, well, can anything be done with it? All right. Can they do anything at this point? And I'm wondering that, too. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that I wonder whether or not at this point they can do anything about this. Well, James Comer believes they can. That's kind of the big takeaway here as we do our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. 5 o'clock happy hour, sponsored by the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Book your September to remember stay. You'll earn resort credits and 10% off room rates. See grandhotelcapemay.com for all of the details. Can we do anything about it? Well, here's Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on the Biden auto pens and the pardons. Cut 14.
Knowing that this is all past us, where is the accountability? How would that come?
Well, I think for one thing, you can question whether or not these pardons and executive orders that were signed in the last 3.5 months when the president was clearly checked out of office, and there's more and more evidence that shows he didn't know what was going on with the use of that auto pen. I think you can question the validity and the legality of those pardons and executive orders. And that's huge. I mean, I think that it's not a stretch to say that those pardons and executive orders could be easily declared null and void in a court of law. And I think that our investigation will serve as evidence with that. You know, we've got a few more people to bring in. We're bringing in Jean-Pierre Friday. She obviously has a book that comes out that talks about a lot of things that were going on in the Biden White House. We wonder if the use of the auto pen down the stretch is one of them. We're going to find out. But at the end of the day, what the staffers that we brought in and deposed, the way they said the auto pen worked versus what the emails that are being surfaced say how the auto pen has worked, totally inconsistent.
Okay.
But one thing that we have learned is that Joe Biden wasn't the one that was directing the use of that auto pen.
All right, here we go, Karine Jean-Pierre.
There you go. Hey, if they can undo this stuff, that would be amazing. I'm not super optimistic about that. Comer is. I don't want to get your hopes up, though. I'm not as optimistic, but we shall see. Obviously, the auto pen scandal needs to be thoroughly looked into, clearly. You know what else needs to be looked into? And I got to give Catherine Herridge big credit for this as we approach the anniversary of 9/11. We've talked a lot about the Saudi government and their role in 9/11. We've had we got John Fetterman loaded. Okay, thank you. We've had the families who are looking for justice around 9/11 on the show. We've talked about the role of the Saudis. We've talked about the fact that we still have some of the evidence around Saudi Arabia's role in 9/11 covered up. Brett Eagleson's been on the show. He lost his dad in 9/11. He's been leading the charge around this 9/11 Families for Justice. And the videos that came out of those Saudi men who were casing various facilities pre-9/11. Well, Catherine Herridge has new reporting out right now. Newly declassified FBI CIA reports reveal two Saudi government employees may have done this prior to 9/11. Cut 20.
The FBI says they may have served as an advance team for the 9/11 hijackers.
Based upon these documents and the videos, it's pretty clear that they were here for that particular reason.
As someone who investigated 9/11, do these records move the timeline?
They do. That really moves the timeline back significantly to when the support network actually got on the ground here in the United States. Are any hijackers in this video?
There are two hijackers appear in this video. Is there enough here to draw a direct connection between 9/11 and the Saudi government?
it's clear that we now have individuals who came here prior to 9/11 who were official Saudi employees. Were they official Saudi employees working on behalf of this plot, or they were also Saudi employees and also serving the needs of Al-Qaeda? I think these records clearly depict not only the advanced team coming here in the United States, but setting up shop, facilitating the care and feeding and housing of the hijackers.
That's information that would have been relevant to the 9/11 Commission.
These videos were obtained in the fall of 2001. Those videos should have been provided to the 9/11 Commission.
Yeah. You think? Absolutely. So there's no doubt in my mind that we need to get to the truth about Saudi Arabia's role. And remember, it's a different government now than it was then. Still run by the royal family, but different people. And all they want is just the truth. I feel like we owe that to everybody, especially when you look at how many people are still suffering to this day with 9/11 related cancers and everything else I went through last night on the show with you. But President, I should mention, is going to New York on 9/11, even going to a Yankees game on Thursday to commemorate the events of that day as well. Speaking of the president, he destroyed Yamichi Alcindor for asking if they're going to war with Chicago. Now, the president put out this meme. It was a meme based on Apocalypse Now. And, you know, he does this to kind of bait these people. He baits the media. He baits the left. And then sure enough, like catnip, they take it. They can't ignore any of this. They never do. So they go crazy and then they come after him and then he winds up using it to his advantage. It seems like they just don't learn from this. Cut number 9.
Are you ready to go to war with Chicago?
When you say that, darling, that's fake news.
Well, why are you in the Department of Defense?
Listen, be quiet. Listen. You don't listen. You never listen. That's why you're second grade. We're not going to war. We're going to clean up our city. We're going to clean them up so they don't kill 5 people every weekend. That's not war. That's common sense.
And Tom Homan had to spend 13 minutes today trying to explain to the unbiased journalist. Oh, no, that was Morning Joe. Different. Morning Joe, entering the country illegally is a crime. This was not easy for Tom Homan to do with the intellectual weight of Morning Joe. But understand, 13 minutes. Now, we're not going to play all 13 minutes for you, just a little snippet of it, because you'd lose your mind. 13 minutes, the borders are Tom Homan trying to explain to Morning Joe. Hard to believe this guy was once a fake Republican, and hard to believe this guy at one point even pretended to be a conservative Republican. Nevertheless, here's cut number 8.
Fact's the case. However, I will say this. If they're in the country illegally, that is not okay. And people think illegal immigration is a victimless crime, and it's not. I don't know the case. I don't know the public state threat, but I will say this. There are millions of people standing in line, taking their tests, doing the background investigation, paying the fees to be part of the greatest nation on earth. And the people who are doing things the right way are sitting in the backseat while we had millions of people come across the border in the Biden administration and cheated the system. People can call them asylum seekers all they want, but if you look at immigration court data, nearly 9 out of 10 people who claim asylum at the border under Biden end up with an order of removal because they don't qualify for asylum. They're pushing themselves to the front of the line, and there are thousands of people in the world who actually are escaping fear and persecution from their homeland. They're sitting in the back seat while people violate the laws, disrespect to this nation. If you want to be a part—
Not easy for him to get through this. All right, listen, let me tell you about Tri-County Auto and the amazing group over there. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and Tri-County Toyota. Brian Krieger and his general manager, Jack Donaldson, they are the best. I got to meet Jack when we did our live show here in the Hub a few months ago. Terrific guy. And I've known Brian Krieger and his wife, Cheryl. I have not met their dog, Maverick. I got to find out what kind of dog Maverick is, actually. Yeah, I need to get some pictures. Talk to them about that. But anyway, they're great people over there. Here are some of the offers they have for you this month in September. If you're interested in a new Toyota like our buddy Sarah Weiss, well, perfect time to get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Right now, lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 for just $239 a month for 36 months. Or buy and get rates as low as 2.99% for 48 months. Or check out a new 2025 RAV4 and lease the RAV4 for only $289 a month for 36 months. Either way, whether you want to do Toyota or you want to go Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, you know, I drive a Jeep and I love it. You go American built, American made, you can get the insurance deduction on your tax deduction. Either way, buy or lease Tri-County Auto. They stand with us. They are our official car sponsor for the show. They're my great friends. Just look for the gigantic American flag that sits between the two dealerships, the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and the Tri-County Toyota dealership. You can't miss it. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Tri-County Toyota, close to King of Prussia, Exton, the Main Line, Collegeville, everywhere. Easy to get to. Give them a salute. Say thank you for sponsoring our show. Thank you for supporting our veterans every year at the Travis Mannion Foundation. Thank you for being great friends. That's what I would love for you to do and support them today. Tri-County. Just go to tricounty.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
The question of freedom of speech, and it's a big one. And we got to make sure that we have freedom of speech, particularly on the college level. So every year, a great group right here in Philadelphia, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, FIRE, they release their list of how colleges and universities are doing on the issue of freedom of speech. And I'm very happy to welcome the show. Sean Stevens joins us now live right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Sean Stevens is the chief research advisor for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Sean, thanks for making the time. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know, what FIRE does. And at one point you were the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, changed the name, expanded the horizon. And then when did you start looking into this and preparing this list of colleges and universities?
Yeah. So I think the easiest way to explain to people what FIRE
used to be and now has morphed into is like we used to be the old school ACLU for college campuses. We would defend the rights of faculty and students when they ran kind of afoul of the administration or occasionally of legislators in their states. And then a few years ago, we expanded these efforts to move off campus and basically defend the rights of all Americans. Our motto is, if your speech is protected, we'll defend it, no questions asked. So primarily a legal organization, but we started doing these rankings in 2020, and that's when we started building out our research department, which I'm a part of.
All right. So when you look at these colleges and universities, what's the criteria that you look at regarding freedom of speech, freedom of expression?
So we have, I think there's two major buckets that I put everything in. The first one is we survey students on the campuses. So this year we surveyed 257 schools. We asked them questions about how comfortable they are expressing views on political topics, what topics are difficult to discuss, how often they self-censor, measure their political tolerance. We asked them about their confidence in their administration to defend freedom of speech rights. Put all those together, come up with a score, and then we factor in, we have a policy reform team that rates each school's speech policies that they have on the books. A red light rating, a yellow light rating, yellow light rating loses you points. Green light rating gives you a bonus. And this year we introduced bonuses for endorsing the Chicago Principles, which is a strong statement in support of freedom of speech and academic freedom, and schools that have a stance of institutional neutrality on controversial issues. They can get a bonus in the rankings for that. So that's kind of more of a behavioral angle. And then we also, we maintain different databases that track the outcomes of speech controversies on campuses. So schools can either lose or gain points depending on the outcomes of those controversies.
Are you finding in these days, I remember we went through a period of time, because I would have fire on my show a lot, where it was a lot of the school and the professors who were doing the shouting down and the silencing. What we're seeing is a lot of it nowadays is students who are doing it to their fellow students. Is that a fair thing to say?
I'd say that trend, you know, the trend of faculty and students being more involved probably started about 10 years ago. And the student involvement definitely has significantly increased over the past decade. Administrators have always been a source of this. What we're seeing a little bit this year in these databases is this shift towards off-campus pressure coming from local, state, and the federal government in some cases on some campuses.
All right. Now, give me the ones who are the worst schools, if you could.
Yeah, so I'll go with the bottom three to keep it brief. Third worst is Indiana University. That might be surprising, yeah, maybe to some people, but there's a pretty good reason for that. Without getting into too much detail and, you know, taking up too much of your time, students wanted to do an encampment protest last spring in 2024. They set it up in this. They planned to set it up in this area on campus that is historic and revered for a lot of protests that have previously occurred at Indiana, including one in the 80s that basically was very similar. Like, students set up in an encampment to protest apartheid in South Africa. And this is celebrated in Indiana's history. But what happened in 2024 is when the administration got wind of this plan, they made a kind of 11th hour switch to their policies, outlawing erected structures. The next day, they called in the state police when the students began setting up the encampment. And this probably isn't the administrator's fault necessarily, but the state police thought it was a real good idea to put snipers on the roof of a building. The students definitely noticed. A number of them commented on this when, you know, we asked some open-ended questions in our survey about, you know, tell us a time about, like, kind of when you self-censored. One student basically said, well, our president called snipers on us. Regardless of your views on the issue, you know, these students weren't disrupting the university, the functioning, anything like that. I think we can all kind of agree that that sounds a little excessive.
Number two of the of
number
the
two. Yeah, number two is Columbia. Probably not so surprising. So they're number two. And a couple of reasons why they're there is a common thread with these bottom three schools is all of the students at them have very little confidence in their school administration to protect free speech rights. Columbia's second worst on that component, two standard deviations below the national average. They also have a number of controversies on campus where they've sanctioned student journalists in the past year. They've sanctioned professors, including firing a few adjuncts for their views. So they were penalized for all those things, too.
Hmm. We haven't really had a lot of that in the news. We've heard a lot about, obviously, the protests around Israel, but we haven't heard a lot about the other stuff.
Yeah, it's not as you don't hear about it as much, but it's.
But aren't they a journalism school? I mean, like that's the point of the right?
The Columbia Journalism School is a renowned. It's a renowned. It's considered pretty prestigious. So you would.
So you go to journalism school and you learn that you can be censored as a journalist. That doesn't seem to be a great
censored, lesson. Temporarily suspended, things like that. Doesn't seem like a good message. No.
No. No. All right. Numero uno on your list.
Drum roll, we
have a very low energy drum roll we could try to play, but we'll do it by hand for the sake of time.
They're across the street from Columbia. It's Barnard College. So they're kind of like sister schools. They're affiliated, but they're considered separate universities. So a lot of the same things that I just said about Columbia apply to Barnard. However, the students there are even madder at their university. They got the lowest score ever on the administrative component in our rankings that the students evaluate them on. It was four standard deviations below the national average this year. That's pretty terrible. I'd say that's basically like most schools got a failing grade in our rankings. You know, most schools got the average was a 58, but this basically means, you know, if we're translating this to this one component, Barnard got like a 20.
What were some of the main reasons why?
It seems like, again, it's students very upset with how the encampment protests and other protests on campus have been handled since October 7th. And since they're so closely affiliated with Columbia, a number of the penalties that Columbia issued to student journalists, well, there were also Barnard student journalists there, and they penalized them.
Fascinating. Joining us right now, Sean Stevens from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, Chief Research Officer. All right, give us the top three from your 2026 college free speech rankings as America's colleges get an F for poor free speech climate. Is there hope we can take from the top three in terms of the most free speech?
I think so, and I would probably extend it to like the top 10 or even
top 10.
Even like the top 25 even.
Okay.
Since we do this every year, I look at it almost like it's a college football, right?
Yeah.
We have a ranking of the top 25 and a lot of the same schools are usually there every year. You know, they fluctuate, you know, number one is one school one year, a different school a different year. But I think we have a pretty good idea of the schools that are at least decent right now. Top school overall, Claremont McKenna, small school in California. So the second time they've been number one in our rankings, and basically every year except one that we surveyed them, they've been in the top 10. Mm-hmm. We surveyed them 5 or 6 years. They're doing something right there. As I mentioned, we have a bunch of different components from the survey that feed into the rankings. They're in the top 50 on basically almost all of them and the top 10 on a lot of them. So that is the school I would say to look to maybe to kind of figure out what they're doing right, and maybe we could replicate that elsewhere. Number two is Purdue. Number three is UChicago. Common thread with all these three schools is really strong administrative leadership in support of freedom of speech. And I'd say that applies to a number of other schools in the top 10 as well, like Vanderbilt is number seven. Michigan Tech has historically done very well in our rankings. They're number four overall this year. Their administration's been very strong on the issue as well. So I think leadership matters a lot, is kind of the one key takeaway from the rankings.
What about High Point in North Carolina?
High Point in North Carolina, I think, is a lot of the schools in their state system do very well.
Good. I have a friend who just, very well. just started there, actually, and so far is loving it. And I have a friend who graduated from High Point, and the president there seems to be a real positive influence. People love it, so that's good.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful, too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
And I'll ask how my I'm a very, very disgruntled Terps fan these days. So how did Maryland do?
They're not in the bottom. They're not in the top. They're fairly middling. They've had some controversies since October 7th, where they've canceled some speakers and things like that. So they lose points there. They do have a good spotlight rating for their speech policies from our policy reform team. So they've historically in the past, they've been up there and been pretty good. But over the past few years, there's been some controversies there where they've gotten dinged for them. So they're now kind of more in the mushy middle.
That's like we are in basketball and football in the mushy middle. It's like we can't friggin' win. Well, listen, good stuff. I appreciate it. Where can people go to read the full report and learn more about where their kids or grandkids go to college?
Yeah, so we have a revamped website that just relaunched today. It's rankings.thefire.org. You can see this year's rankings, look at it, individual school profiles, compare schools to each other, look at it broken down by state. You'll also be able to pull up previous year's data if you're going into kind of the explore the data section. Like I said, we've been doing this since 2020. So that's where I'd go to check out the rankings and kind of interact with them. And I'd also encourage people to go to fire.org, which is our main website, if you want to find out more about us as an organization.
As a side note, I saw a story recently that a lot more college kids today believe that censorship is okay. Silencing people whose voices they disagree with or shouting down protesters is okay. Those trends I find to be very alarming, because you would imagine that college kids of all people would be the ones who believe in more speech and more expression, but it doesn't seem like we're trending in that direction.
No, we're actually, that's, you know, I would say over the 6 years, nothing's really trended in a positive direction necessarily, but some things have stayed, you know, fairly stagnant. But the one thing that is trending downwards is our measures of political tolerance. They kind of, this is the first year ever. We ask usually about any 6 to 8 speakers that have been invited to campus every year. Half of them have said something controversial that would offend liberals. The other half have said something controversial that would offend conservatives. It's a way of kind of gauging, you know, are you tolerant, and are you tolerant across the board, or do you have a bias somewhere? And for the first time ever, you know, we asked about 6 this year, but this is, we've never had it be that not a single speaker got over 50% of students saying they would allow them on campus. One speaker got 49% this year, but I mean, I think that's notable. And then the longer term trends in that are, this is just kind of decreasing, over time. And another way we measure it is the acceptability of like shouting down speakers, using violence to stop a speech. How acceptable is it for other students to use that? These are all now at record highs too. And so I find that pretty concerning.
Absolutely. I mean, speakers at colleges should be controversial. That's the whole friggin' point, which is you want to engage and make people think about things in a different point of view. If you're just having somebody who just agrees with your point of view, what is the point of that? I don't
and,
understand.
And it's also the environment where the discussion can be moderated at kind of like a high level, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's perfect
environment.
Where
else are you going to do that? Where else are you going to get that but college?
It's a perfect environment to have these kind of more controversial, edgy conversations, and we're increasingly shying away from that.
I remember when I took a class when I was in Maryland. It was a political whatever class, and you had to debate both sides of an issue. So you had to be prepared to present and argue both sides of the issue, and then flip sides on the issue. And I loved it. I thought it was one of the best classes I ever took, because I had to think creative, you know, constructively about the argument of both sides, which I think is really a great lesson in life, to think about both sides of an argument and then be able to form an opinion based on how you feel about it. But it seems like that's, you can't do that anymore, because you're not allowed to think even critically about how the other side might view something. And that's like taboo or something, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of polarization in the country, which I think filters down and impacts the college students at that level even. And yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you. One of the best lessons I learned in graduate school getting my PhD is, you know, if you can't write the paper from the person who completely disagrees with you and wants to critique everything you've done, if you can't write that, then you don't really know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah, and you won't be able to defend your argument.
So you understand what your critics are going to say to really formulate a good argument. And so, yeah, I agree with that. And I think we've increasingly become avoidant of doing that.
I want my safe space. I just want somebody who says what I want to hear and disagrees with me and doesn't challenge me and doesn't say anything that might trigger me. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, and this gets encouraged to a degree where, you know, we now have we're in a generation where, you know, you and I didn't have social media going to college or anything like that. But when you've kind of been raised on this and you can curate your discussion environment, you know, get rid of the things you don't like, only feature the things you do. And then all of a sudden you get placed in an environment where you don't have that option. I think we see what's going, you know, we're seeing the results of that.
You mean I can't just swipe away something I don't like?
Yeah. We can't just swipe away the Ben Shapiro talk on campus or, you know, the offensive pro-Palestinian speaker that's coming.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is what concerns me about that, you know, and it's the heckler's veto then wins, because they say, well, we can't keep you safe, kids. So we're going to not have the speaker come. And I get very frustrated by that.
Yeah, no, it's problematic. And, you know, in other data we've collected, we just see those demands and the success of those demands increasing over time.
Well, keep up the good work. I think you guys do a great job over there. I've long been a fan of the organization, and I think the key is that the more freedom of speech, the more freedom of expression we have, the better. I think that the you know, the best way to deal with speech and ideas you don't like is more speech and more ideas. I've always believed that. So thefire.org, and check them out. And appreciate coming on the show today, Sean. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. It's not about cost. It's about care and commitment to dental excellence. So schedule your appointment with Dr. Mike today. Get a level of care that you deserve. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Coming up, Senator John Fetterman calling out his Democratic colleagues as socialist morons. We'll share that with you. Plus, Newman Price out with a brand new hit song about me getting bumped by Fox. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.